Let's Talk, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. A program centred around the unceded sovereignty of First Nations people in this country. Triple A's flagship program, Let's Talk, elevating the diverse voices of First Nations people across the country. Hosted by Gomeroi journalist Danny Tears Johnson, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. It's Let's Talk, right here on Triple A Murray Country.
Hello, welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to start today by recognising the sovereignty of blackfellas all across this nation. Wherever you are listening, it always was and always will be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander land. Today on the show, I'm talking to a very special guest. Colleen Mailman is a Bidjara woman. She comes from Mount Tabor Station, or works up that way. And she's just had a very hard time with the collapse of UPLA. UPLA is an Aboriginal Community Benefits Fund. It's a funeral fund. And about 17,000 of our mob have lost their money in the collapse of UPLA. Now, this is a lot of money. We're not talking chicken feed here. We're talking lots of money, lots of savings over, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. It's quite a shocking state of affairs for a lot of our mob across the country. And I'd just like to bring in Keelan now. G'day, Keelan. How are you? You there, Keelan?
Yeah, I'm here, Danny. Can you hear me?
Yes, there we go. Sorry about that. We just had some phone issues this morning.
That's all good, mate. A big morning to you and a big shout out to all our mob all around Australia. And thanks for having me on the show.
No, thanks for coming on. It's really important. But just before we get into the discussion, can you please tell us about yourself, your mob and your country and where you're from, please?
Yeah, I'm a Bidjara woman and my country is out in Western Queensland, and I manage Mount Tabor Station, which is owned in ownership by Gurudunda Traditional Owners Limited, which is the Bidjara people, and Gurudunda is the name of Mount Tabor Station in Bidjara language.
And what does it take? How long have you been up there? Because I just want to give the audience a sense that of how long you've been up there, how long you might have been working up there on the station. And tell us a bit about the work you do.
25 years, going over 25 years now, Danny. I've been on Mount Tabor Station. I went from Bidjara Traditional Owners Limited to the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation and then got 100% ownership back in 2015 for our Bidjara people, like I said, under Gurudunda Traditional Owners Limited. And a lot of hard yakka. We've got leases on the property. We did have an Australian Country Choice, which is a big cattle company in Australia. They were there for 18 years and decided to leave last year. So we sourced another grazing family company, the Walkers, and they're on the property and looking for long term. So we've been pretty busy and signed a first ever bigger project, I suppose, with Santos, the gas and mining industry, for the first biodiversity carbon offset on our property. So, yeah, we do lots of things out there, mate. Take kids out, elders, and, you know, our people doing field trips and different things, looking after country and, you know, continuing to preserve and protect our cultural heritage sites.
Yeah, and it's long days out there, isn't it? It's not, you know, a 9-to-5 job, so to speak. It's very long days out on properties, as I recall, and it's backbreaking work as well.
Yeah, it certainly can be, Danny. I'm on block leave at the moment. 25 years of hard yakka, and like you said, it's not a 9-to-5 job. Different fire times, fighting fires for 3 months at a time, and going a couple of days without a sleep. You know, trying to get fires under control and all of those sorts of things. So it definitely isn't a walk in the park. If people think that it's a walk in the park, they're kidding themselves, because, you know, it has been hard yakka for me, and doing it as a single mum for all those years and getting help with some, you know, male friends and the support of me family and stuff along the way is, and some of my Bidjara people, which has sort of made my life a little bit easier, but not massively, because you're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So home and work are combined in one.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, for you, Keelan, and like many of our mob across the country, looking after our elders, looking after our families, is a really important part of our, I guess, family identity and our culture, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, mate. And like when you'd mentioned there earlier, Danny, you know, like our people have been, you know, my old ancestors, mum, dads and grandparents and great, you know, they've been doing all of this before any of us were even thought of. So
yep.
It was a very proud thing for me to be out on such a huge property, just under 190,000 acres.
Wow.
Being the manager and doing all of that for my people and walking the land where ancestors walked before me. Yeah, it has been a big thing, and it's been our old people that have been the people that have been the, you know, workers of all that country, and I just don't believe they ever got enough recognition for working for shit money, mate.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, you know, that's evident in the battle for the stolen wages story, and even more so with this, you know, like, unfortunately, funerals are a big part of our lives. We actually plan for them. You know, we attend pretty much a funeral once a week for a lot of mob. Can you take us back to the 1990s, Keelan? You know, we're talking today about the collapse of UPLA. There's four Aboriginal community benefit funds that have been liquidated in November. But what many people don't realise is that these funds have been around since the 1990s.
That's right, Danny.
Can you take us back to the 1990s there? And you were door knocked. Can you tell us about that and how you first signed up for UPLA or the Aboriginal Community Benefits Fund?
Yeah, okay. I was living in Goodna at 31 Caldwell Street, Goodna to be exact there.
Good memory.
And I was working in different factories and stuff down in Brisbane when I first moved down that way. And I come home one afternoon and my brother Kenny, sadly deceased at the moment, my brother, and he said to me, "Hey, sis," he said, "had these people coming around today," he said, "and they've got a Blackfella community funeral benefit fund, you know, where you save, you send money in each fortnight and you save towards paying for your funeral."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I grabbed some forms off him." He said, "I've signed up, sis." And I said, "Oh, rightio." And I said, "Well, I'll have a look." And he said, "I told them to come back because you'd probably might be something that you'd want to do." And I said, "Oh, shit, yeah." So anyway, cut all that short. They come back. So I signed up. I signed myself up and my son and daughter, Alan and Christy, at the time. And I've been in that since, gee, I was trying to take my memory back. It was around the 90, you know, anywhere from the 94
yep.
to, you know, just in that close area, simply because I know I moved back out to traditional country.
What convinced you to sign up to it, Keelan? Was it because other mob had said, "Hey, this is great for us," or just, you know, you've got kids and you thought, you know, I need to look after family?
Yeah, and, you know, Danny, a lot of our people don't have, I mean, funerals are a big cost.
Yeah.
And a lot of our people don't have the money to be looking for $8,000-$10,000 or, you know, it's bad enough. Then you've got all the travel and everything else included.
Yep.
So I thought it was a great, great idea because it was run by our people. I thought it was a Blackfella run, which gullible me didn't know at all, but I just simply thought that it was a Blackfella run organisation.
I think most of us did.
Yeah, that's right. And we're all misled here. So I thought that, you know, I was putting money into a fund. I was a single mum. I was on a pension. And I thought, and getting doing little bits of work here and there. And I thought to myself, you know what, if anything ever happens to me, at least my kids don't have to, and my family don't have to try and scrape around trying to find all this money to bury me or whatever.
Yep.
So I let the family and everything know that I was in that. I let my kids know that I was in it. And then, you know, like, sadly, it's all collapsed. Now, someone needs to be accountable. And it's like you said earlier, it's not only me, it's, I heard from you that, you know, your mum was in it. I mean, it's the most heartbreaking thing that could be happening to our vulnerable First Nations people again. We've been treated like shit enough. I mean, someone needs to be accountable here. Like, I'm not dumb. We're not stupid. Now, insurances were paid. they had to be paid. When you're opening up a company, you're paying for insurance. Where's the lack of someone looking into it more to have our people have their money get paid back? Now, you know, it mightn't sound like a lot of money getting taken out, bloody, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 bucks a fortnight, but it bloody is to our people.
It is a lot of money. And that's why I wanted you to talk about your work and how long you've worked for on that station, because I really wanted to give the audience an insight into how long you've been working and, you know, just exactly, you know, the toil, and then all of a sudden this has all collapsed and it's been 30-odd years and you've been paying into this fund and now it's gone.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I'm devastated. It's the biggest disgrace that could have ever happened. Now, look, someone needs to be accountable. The government need to step in. We're First Nations people. People from overseas get treated better than we do. I'm sick to death of it. Our people are sick to death of it. You know, like even going back to the stolen wages. Our people worked and built this land, our traditional countries, wherever it is around Australia, for pittance or no money at all. Then they bring in the stolen wages. You know, people are not really never got no money there. The amount of money that was paid out to the people was bullshit, no? Really? You know, hospitals and roads and everything got built from our money, and it took a lot of pushing and a lot of shoving for our people to get a bit of recognition. Everyone thinks that blackfellas are getting everything handed to them. What a lot of shit.
Yep.
You know, these people built hospitals and roads. Why didn't a bit more recognition come out in the media about, you know, like it was the stolen wages of the Aboriginal island people around Australia that actually helped build this hospital or helped build this road? I mean, you know, let's start talking some truths here. The government need to step forward and give some sort of an insurance and protection to the First Nations people. You know, we've fought our guts out for our native title. Half of us didn't get it.
Yep.
Us as bigger people got dismissed our native title. I took the solicitor involved to the legal commission to get justice. We got justice because they ruled in my favour for my people, for my Bidjara people, and for our traditional countries. Where are we? We can't even get back in the court. We haven't been given our native title back. So I asked them, what was the good of the report? Yeah. I might as well have wiped my ass on it. I spent 3 years, Danny, fighting for that. And now we've got an Aboriginal funeral fund that's collapsed, where there's over 17,000 people around Australia, which I call all my people. Now we're getting shit on all over again, mate.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not fair because we've got elderly. I mean, it's bad enough for some of us young ones to pick it up. I also heard you say that a lot of the younger generation actually paid into that funeral fund to look after their loved ones, their mum, their dad, their
right.
grandchildren.
So my generation, so if you're in your 40s, I know a lot of people who have signed up for this to pay for the funerals of their elders, of their parents, their grandparents, their uncles and aunties. Family groups come together and do this to make sure that everybody is looked after. But given what's happened in the last couple of months, there's nothing that can be done at this stage while the government's still making up their minds on what they're going to do about it all. To look after elders. So the pressure is on you guys in communities to look after your elders and dig into your own pockets or other people's pockets, who knows, of trying to pay for funerals and make sure our elders are buried with respect and dignity.
Yeah, that's right, mate. You know, and they're always saying the blackfellas getting everything handed to them. What a lot of shit, like I said.
We know that's not true.
We know that's not true. And, you know, like, we've got a lot of our elders now. My auntie's in it. You know, my auntie Claire, like, she's 71, you know, and there's a lot of elders, another old auntie, you know, in our mob. Like, I'm just talking specifically there to people with me.
Yep.
Like she turns 80 on the 1st of July. And, I mean, where's she going to get to start again? Then, with that particular auntie, you know, I was told that Eupola sent her a letter. Now, they sent her a letter and asked her, you know, if she waived $4,000, she could still get the $10,000 that would cover her funds. Who the heck do they think they are trying to negotiate like that with an elder?
I think that's, you know, I feel like there's a bit of an exploitation going on here when it comes to our elders from these funds. It's like taking candy from a baby, you know. Like, I don't know how in your right mind you can send a letter to an 80-year-old elder and expect them to sign it and sign their money away and whatnot. It just seems to be ridiculous, and I just can't see blackfellas doing this to other blackfellas, and that's why it's not an Aboriginal company. We don't do this stuff. You know,
that's
we don't
right.
exploit our
about,
elders.
And it's about us all standing together with this one, Danny, and I really believe that it doesn't matter if you're as a blackfella, it doesn't matter if you're in the funeral fund. This is about us taking a stand now and standing together to help fight for the people that were in it.
Yep.
Like I said, it's affected me personally. It's affected a lot of my people all around Australia. And, you know, ABC got in touch with me to ask me to be a voice because there was no voice in Queensland.
Yep.
I'm hearing stories where families that were in the funeral fund are still waiting for monies for loved ones that have passed that they had to come up with elsewhere. I mean, what a total disgrace.
Yeah, it is.
It's the biggest disgrace I've ever heard.
Can you...
Now, Amy from ABC interviewed me.
Yep.
And she said to me, and it actually happened on the spot in the interview. She said to me, Keelan, it's quite disgusting and devastating, so to speak, you know, is what I'm saying. To you, and she said to me, it's quite disgusting and terrible considering the Aboriginal Community Benefit Funeral Fund, UPLA, went into a liquidation in November.
Yep, November and of last year they went into liquidation,
yeah.
And that, this is all only coming out now.
I was absolutely gobsmacked, Danny. She had that information, Amy, and I said to her, well, okay. I said, well, it's nice to know that you know that information, Amy. I said, I've only just found out about this roughly the 28th of, you know, last month. I said, because I was stuck in the floods in Brisbane. I said, and I've been in this fund all this time and you're not. I said, I've just found out about it. And it happened to have been through my cousin, Cheryl Lawton, she's the chair, CEO of Quatsic.
Yep.
She was with me and it was only for her sister, Lisa, you know, coming across it, and then the other sister, Shelley, ringing and saying, hey, this is bloody all collapsed. Like, we had no idea, mate. Now, I asked my auntie on my way back through in Roma, and she said to me, you know, yeah, I'm in it, told her. She was absolutely devastated, and she said, what am I going to do now? I thought I was doing the right thing, and I said, just bear with me, aunt. Let's see if we...
That really hits that too, because, you know, like I said, a lot of these, I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was looking after myself. I thought I was, you know, no one's going to have to pay for my funeral. I'm right, the family suite. This is just all being undone. I can't imagine the stress this puts on elders because funerals are just so important to us. Like, it's, you know, I can't imagine the stress and the toll that's been taken on elders because of this collapse.
That's right. And, you know, Ray Robinson, a Bidjara man, and he was a former commissioner and national deputy commissioner, it was really good. When I was going to the interview, Danny, I'd give him a call and I said, are you coming down to this? He said, oh, yep, right. So down he came, and it was really great because there was interesting stuff and a man of knowledge in the positions that he was in. He said at the particular time, when it was all getting put together and for ATSIC to be allowed this company to happen, you know, they asked for evidence as commissioners. They asked for evidence to be brought forward to what was going to be the protection for the vulnerable First Nations Indigenous people if this was to ever go bust. The information from what he spoke about there that day never come to them. So how did they get to open the company and, you know, without having all the insurances? So, you know, there would have been millions or billions of dollars paid into insurance companies because they had to do that.
Mm.
You know, we've got a cattle property on our traditional country, Mount Tabor, that I spoke about earlier.
Yep.
We've got to pay our liability insurance. So we want our money back. my people want our money back. As you know, we want our money back, you know, because we've got elderly here that are not very well at all. We've got young people that are heartbroken and shattered because we were looking after our family and loved ones at the most crucial times in our lives, you know. I can speak on a couple of things,
yep.
You know, just for our people out there to know. Like my younger brother, Carl, sadly, he was the baby of the family. He was in the fund. Now, he got to get that $10,000, which was a blessing, because we didn't have the money if he wasn't in it.
Yeah,
so
right.
Thankfully, they done the right thing there. The other person that was in there was my ex, David. Now, because I was in the older fund, he got to get his money. So a couple of good things come out of that encouraged me more to voice out to our people to go into the funeral fund because of how great it was to take that heartache and burden off us, you know. Quatsic in Charleville, you know, and then you'd have all the health organisations in Brisbane, all around Australia. You know, these people advocated. These health organisations advocated to our people to go into the funeral fund to help look after themselves and their loved ones at a time of need.
Wow.
You know, they advocated for this. Even under the NDIS, Danny.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, it's just, and that's what, it's just really disturbing because we trust these organisations. They are trusted Aboriginal organisations. Health orgs and you know, our mob are part of them and things like that. And that's, you know, telling us to do this. And of course, like, I keep harping on it, but funerals are such an important part of our lives for Aboriginal people.
Absolutely.
And to take that burden, that stress away, of course we're going to pay into a fund if it sounds legit.
That's right. Because we thought it was run by our own people, Danny. And we were all bloody knocked on our ass because it wasn't run by our people, which is quite disgusting.
So it's a fraud. You
know? It's a fraud. We're all trying to look after each other. And that's what I mean, you know, like it's gone from stolen wages, from, you know, stolen generation.
Yep.
You know, how the friggin' hell do they think that we're going to have any sort of reconciliation in this country?
It's a really good point.
If they're going to keep treating us like shit. Now, someone needs to step up and be accountable. The government needs to step in, you know, and you've got IBA. They get millions and millions and millions of dollars. Why hasn't someone had the heart and the friggin' decency to step forward and give us some sort of insurance that we're going to be okay?
Yeah,
nobody's done it.
It's certainly worth asking. And I just want to bring up something that you said to me yesterday that was just, you know, really got my blood boiling. But as we've said, these four companies, UPLA, the Aboriginal Community Benefit Fund, all around these sort of names, were all liquidated in November of last year. They went into administration.
Yep.
They were dissolved. Bush gone. Money gone. Now, they were still taking money up until February out of Aboriginal people's accounts. Can you tell me that story, please?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I was put on the spot with this with Amy from ABC when I done the interview. Then I'm, you know, here and checked my own account, you know, and money was getting taken out right up until February. And they went into bloody liquidation in November. I mean, what a disgrace.
And when did you find out? When did you find out they went into liquidation?
About the 28th of February when I was stuck in Brisbane with the flood.
Yep, there we go.
You know, I mean, there you go. I mean, what a total disgrace. Now, I've still got my mail and that because I'm only on block leave. I've still got mail that's going out to, you know, Home and Work, the property that I manage, Mount Tabor Station.
Yep.
Now, I collected a bit of mail there from my cousin. There's not one letter, Danny, in there telling me about that. Nobody got letters about that. Firstly, they said that, you know, it was Plan 2. I mean, I wouldn't have thought that I would have been in Benefit plan two, because I thought it would have been one, considering I was in it for so long.
Yeah.
But I'd only got that in a text message from them recently. Now, I tried continuously to call those people. I tried to call that Cotter and Co. that have taken care of it. It's every time it just worked out that they got to, telling me to contact Robson Cotter. I mean, what number? I mean, can you tell me, like, ringing that number all the time, didn't matter what time of the day it was, Danny. The office is unattended. Can you please ring back in business hours?
Oh, my God.
And I thought, wonder when they start their business here at midnight.
Yep.
You know?
And what chance have our elders got trying to ring him or contact him? You know, you're a pretty energetic, articulate woman, pretty savvy of technology and on the front foot here, and you couldn't get hold of him. So what chance have our elders and community out there got in trying to negotiate or find out information or get their money back?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Like, you know, someone needs to be accountable. I haven't seen, like I said, they'd have a board, Danny. They'd have a board and they'd have a chairperson and they'd have directors. People need to be accountable. Now, like I said, from November, you know, we're going through November, December, January, February, before I'm even getting wind of it. You know, they sent out to me auntie an annual report. You know?
Yep.
What the friggin' hell does she... Like, she hasn't got any education. She doesn't need an annual report from. But if they sent that out to her, you know, why the heck didn't they send out, something else? Now, you know, they sent that out to her on the 1st of February. I'm looking at her letter because I photocopied it. Now, I sent emails to them, and I will say that they did try to contact me a couple of times, only in the last week. Wow. Now, when I went to call them back, and it's only because I sent them an email going off and wanting someone to return my call, I wait right up until last week to try and get a phone call from them. And because I missed it, they didn't try and ring me back with a bit of decency. I kept trying to ring them and kept getting what I just said to you. Yeah. I mean, what a disgrace.
Sounds like it's easier to call Centrelink.
I think it might be easier to call Centrelink, Danny, but, you know.
Keelan, can I ask... we're waiting for what the federal government's going to say, particularly Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg. But the Australian Security Investment Commission's ASIC, they've got legal proceedings underway, but it's not until May in the federal court. So that's, we've got to wait 5 months for any sort of outcome or I guess the start of an outcome. But what would you like to see in the meantime? Who would you like to see come out and given insurance? You've mentioned the IBA, we've mentioned Josh Frydenberg. What can be done? What's the solution for us going forward here to look after these 17,000 clients of Blackfella's hard-earned money that's been lost?
Well, what about if we start with UPLA themselves, the Aboriginal Community Benefit Fund?
Yep.
I mean, why hasn't someone come out and spoken from them to say something? I mean, this is the biggest disgrace going on here, as we all know, all our mob around Australia know, Danny.
Yep.
And everyone's just left hanging in a branch, not knowing what's going to happen. Because nobody's come through with any sort of accountability. Like, I would have thought that this would have went big straight up, but it's because it's Blackfellas, of course, we've got to sit back and wait.
Yeah.
I mean, why do we have to constantly sit back and wait, Danny? You know, we should have answers. There should have been some sort of answers that were given to us. You know, they have a responsibility as a board. You know, they were dealing with billions and trillions of dollars from all of our people. There's accountability. You know, why hasn't someone come out and said, look, you know, this is what's happened. It's going to the court. You know, but once again, we've got to do everything on the Murray grapevine.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if the federal government came out and say, I mean, we've got a number of senators in the Labor Party. We've got Ken White, who's the Minister for Indigenous Affairs. It'd be great for those guys to come out and say something.
Because
this is 30 years of your life's work. That money's gone. And as a single mum, black woman out there on country working 12 hours a day, this is just unacceptable.
Yeah, unacceptable. It's the biggest disgrace going, mate. You know, it really is a disgrace. And all of our people, you know, like I said to our people before, I said we might not be of the same tribe, but I class all Aboriginal Island people around Australia my people. And if a war broke out, mate, I know where I'd be. Whether I knew you or not, you're still my people. Yeah. So this is about us all standing together and making noise because, you know, we've had that much injustice from that much stuff. Look at all our deaths in custody. I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah, it's been a trying time for our mob across the country, Aboriginal Islander people, with the Kumanjay Walker inquest, fires, floods. You know, it's just crazy with so many fighting so many battles and so many fronts at the moment as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
That's right.
It is inspiring, heartening to see you come out swinging, Killeen.
Yeah.
You know, you're not taking a backward step here, and you are representing a number of people who are attached to this sort of company and have lost money as well. And even though you're just one woman out there, you are representing a lot of mob and carrying their words and advocating for them. So we thank you very much for that.
Well, you know, like I'm trying, Danny. Like I even went when I was speaking in Longreach, you know, a couple of weeks back at the WOW Women's World Festival.
Yep.
And, you know, there was a young lady there, Karen, and I said to her, I said, you know what, mate? I said, I've had a gutful of this. I said, I've had a gutful of our people having to constantly fight the fight, and it's always the hard fight. We're always fighting for our rights. I said, I've had enough. I said, look at this bloody Aboriginal funeral fund, this bloody UPLA. I said, I've been in it for rigging 30-odd years. I said, and now, you know, and I said, and thousands of our people around Australia have been, you know, heartbroken and ripped apart and everything again. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, the UPLA, the Aboriginal Community Benefit Fund, I said, it went into a liquidation. I found out in February, I said, but it went into a liquidation in November. And she goes, she actually had tears, Karen. And she goes, are you f-ing serious, sis? She said...
Just watch the language there. Sorry, sis.
Oh, sorry. She said, my mum and dad are in that. And I said... Well, it's true. And she said, I'm going to have to get on to them. She said, because this is terrible. She said, this is a disgrace. And I said, well, it really is happening. I said, I'm hearing at this moment, I've only just heard that it's Funeral Benefit Fund 2.
Yep.
I said, which I'm in, sadly. I said, but I was also told that all of the others are going to go into it. I said, so apparently there is one, two, three, I said, possibly four, I don't know. I said, but my auntie is on plan. So I don't know what that means, Danny.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've heard anything about that. But,
we'll be looking into it, and I'll be reaching out to the federal government today to try and get a response, and also UPLA.
Yeah.
Killeen, unfortunately, I understand the frustration, so it's okay. I just got to look after the elders out there. We are running out of time, so I do have to... end our chat for the day, but we'll be talking to you again as this story unfolds, and it'd be nice to get you on another time to talk about just Mount Tabor Station and the Lost City and the work you do up there as Bidjara people.
Yeah, that's fantastic, mate, and it's been an absolute privilege and honour and for being on your show, so thank you, and hopefully I've brought something more forward to try and help hopefully get justice for all our people around Australia. And, you know, just keep strong and just know that there is some people out there and we are, including yourself, trying to get justice for our people is all I can say, mate.
Yeah, that's right. The fight is not over. And with people like yourself leading the way for the Bidjara mob and all other mob out there, hopefully we'll get an outcome and our mob will get our money back. Killeen Marmon, thanks for your time here on AAA Murray Country.
Good on you, Danny. It's been a privilege, mate. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's our show today on AAA Murray Country. We will continue the story of UPLA finance and insurance, and we will continue to try and fight to get the money back, and we'll keep talking about it here on Let's Talk I've been your host, Danny Teese Johnson. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you tomorrow on Let's Talk on Murray Country.